I wanted to say thank you to Cal for preaching last Sunday. Thank you for sharing the word with us. And I appreciated several of the points that you made. And we can sometimes find ourselves facing a wake-up call or seeing ourselves at stop signs in things that we face in life. And are we stopping? Are we looking? Are we listening? Evaluating and then proceeding in the way of the Lord. Something that you said, Cal, a question that you posed, are you fearful of hell? I think that's a question that I think many of us need to really think about. You know, do we recognize the reality of hell? There is a hell. Two Sundays ago, we looked at a number of sins that have become almost common to the point that many don't even view them as sins. But it really doesn't matter what some might think. Sin is sin. And if it's in our lives, we need to turn away from it. That is repentance. Jesus came and died for our sins. He brought grace and mercy and forgiveness, and it is not for us to take that for granted and live uncontrolled lives doing whatever we want. Christ paid a huge price. He came in the flesh. He was born of Mary. He lived as fully human. He was fully God too. But he felt our limitations. He felt hunger. He felt thirst. He felt fatigue. You know, he had aches and pains too. He taught and he loved. He loved those he came into contact with, and he loved them through teaching and healing, and his love was even shown through confronting those who were religious but not godly. Jesus felt betrayal. He felt abandonment. Jesus felt the pain of torture and definitely felt the pain of death. When you think about Jesus, what comes to mind? If I were to say, what comes to mind when I say Jesus? Some might say, well, love. Others might say, the Son of God. Others might say, teacher, healer. Still yet others might call him Savior. How often, though, do we reflect on his death and resurrection? Because if it's only on Easter, we're missing something. We should regularly be reflecting on it. Because the sins that we are so quick to say that we're forgiven of, they came at a tremendous cost to our Lord and Savior. Jesus paid the cost on the cross with his life. As we went through a few parables last year, we came to learn that Jesus paid the debt that we were unable and are unable to pay. We are incapable of even trying to pay. Our debt caused by sin is immeasurable. The wages of sin is death, meaning the result of sin in our lives, the result of that sin is death. And when we lose sight of what Christ did for us and continues to do for us, it might be easy to take it for granted and in turn live our lives as if there was no cost to our lives or no cost to the hope that we have in our eternal future. So today we're going to look at communion, also called the Lord's Supper, and see how that regularly helps us or helps remind us of the importance of Christ's sacrifice. Today and next Sunday, I'll be taking some time to really dig into what we call the ordinances of the church. Communion today, water baptism next week. These are ordinances because they are things that Christ has called us to do and take part in. The title of my message today is digesting the Lord's Supper. And next week, we'll be diving into water baptism. Is that dad humor? I don't know. Maybe a little. If you missed it, diving into water baptism, digesting? Okay. You know it's dad humor when not everyone might catch it. But these are two things that are very important to us. So let's go ahead and read some scripture and look at the Lord's Supper and turn with me to Matthew 26:26, where we will be see the beginning of the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26:26. And if you want to follow along on the screen, you're more than welcome. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." The scene is in a large upper room. It's the evening before Jesus is betrayed and arrested and then later crucified. The meal that they are eating is the Passover meal, and I'll be getting to more on why that's significant in a moment. But Jesus and his 12 apostles are celebrating and eating this meal. Jesus then takes a loaf of bread and gives thanks to God. He breaks it and gives it to his apostles. "Take this and eat. This is my body." That's what he tells them. The apostles are not really understanding what Jesus is getting at because Jesus had not given his body fully yet. It will be happening soon. But Jesus will be giving his body to be the once and for all atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. Luke 22:19, we see that Jesus says a little bit more when covering this Passover meal. I'll just quick read that. Luke 22:19, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We see clearly in "my body given for you" that Jesus was willingly giving himself as a sacrifice. Then we see the phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is in part why we call this an ordinance. We'll also see that the apostles continued to break bread with one another and continued what Christ had called for. Jesus is sharing with his apostles that a remembrance will be needed because Jesus will not be with them for much longer. Continue to do this. It's a remembrance activity, and do it until we are with Jesus in his Father's kingdom. But what is this remembrance? Jesus gives bread to them and says, "Take it." The bread is a memorial of Christ's body that was given to them. Now for the apostles, they're going along with this, but in the weeks and years ahead after this to come, after Jesus is crucified, it'll take on much more of a meaning. To take Christ's body is to acknowledge that you have received Christ in your life. It is to receive his sacrificial gift. It is to take his body. Back to Matthew 26 again, verses 27 through 28. I'll read it again. "Then he took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" In the Old Testament, God instituted the sacrificial system. If you've read through a number of the Old Testament books, especially Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you'll see a lot of laws going around the sacrificial system. Sacrifices were needed for a variety of reasons, but most of all for atoning of sins. Yet those sacrifices really pointed us to the once and for all sacrifice that comes in Jesus Christ. The blood that would be shed from the once and for all sacrifice would usher in a new covenant. But like the bread being a memorial for Christ's body, the cup represents a memorial for Christ's blood. Because of Christ's sacrifice with His blood being poured out and paying for our sins, when we take Christ in, we receive His forgiveness. He washes us and cleanses us. Isaiah says a little something I wanted to read to you, Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Because of Christ, our stains, our sins are removed. And we who put our faith in Christ, we are seen in right standing with God. Without Christ, we would still have our stains, our sins. But with Him, He sees us in a different way. Because Christ has taken the punishment for us. It's interesting that the Lord's Supper took place at the time of the Passover. If you remember, back in the time of Moses, when the Israelites were in Egypt, they had a number of plagues, and the final plague to hit Egypt was the death of the firstborn. The Israelites were instructed to take a lamb without defect. They were to put the blood of that lamb on the doorposts of their home. The blood on the doorposts would be a sign for the angel of death to pass over and not enter that home. After the plague, the Israelites were then led out of Egypt by God, and they were free from their Egyptian bondage. And that was an incredible time, and it was a time that they celebrated for a long period of time. They celebrated the Passover, remembering what God had done there. And as incredible as it was, that blood of the Passover lamb only saved the Israelites for one night on one event. It was just one time. But the true blood of the Lamb of God, that's Jesus Christ, is forever. When we put our faith in Jesus, the blood that He shed covers us not just for one event or one time, but He covers us fully and forever. It is not a coincidence that Jesus and his apostles were celebrating the Passover. This is where the Lord's Supper began, and from that moment on, the Lord's Supper has become the new Passover. Now, I know there's still people that celebrate the Passover once a year, and that's great, but celebrating Christ and His sacrifice carries a new level of importance, a salvation for the world, for those who put their faith in Him. I'd like to turn back to the bread and the cup here. So by taking the bread and the cup, we are taking in Christ's body and His blood. It's kind of a strange way of putting things. I think it is because we probably tend to lean when we think of taking in body and blood, it's kind of a cannibalistic thing. There's actually some other scripture I'll be reading that's even harder. And I'll get to that in a moment, but taking the bread and the cup as a memorial of Christ's body and blood is to take Christ in us. Now, we'll be taking the bread and the juice here in a little bit, but imagine taking in the bread, taking in the juice, and consuming them. You're taking them in. They're nourishment for the body. But the same is to take in Christ, to receive Him, to receive His gift, is to receive that sacrifice for our sinful lives. We are receiving Christ in us, and this is nourishment for the soul and the spirit. And we see in Scripture that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus that transforms us. It is believing and receiving Christ as our Lord and following His lead. Again, taking in Christ is building us up. It is nourishing our spiritual, our soul. We are taking in Christ and filling ourselves with Him and His Spirit while removing our sinful lives. Our sinful selves. The Lord's Supper is a reminder that we are continually taking in Christ. We are continually receiving Him. Yes, there. When you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life and began living for Him, you received His salvation at that moment or at a specific moment in time. But daily we are living and receiving Him in our lives. Daily we are to continue to take Him in. I know I'm going a little deep here, but does that make sense? We take in Christ in Scripture, in prayer. We're taking Him in. It's daily. Let's look at some other Scripture as it pertains to receiving Christ. John chapter 6, starting with verse 48. John 6:48. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you guys know that Scripture was in there? That's where it gets interesting. That first part, Jesus is the living bread that came down from heaven to give us life. That's who He is, the bread of life. Manna, if you remember, was that miraculous food that was given to the Israelites after they left Egypt. It came down every evening, and they went and gathered it up the next morning. And it kept them alive in the desert. It kept them alive for a while, but it only gave them food for the day. Again, nutrition for the body. But the bread of life, that's Jesus. He came with a purpose to bring life and eternal life. Yet the Scripture is pretty interesting. The way Jesus presents it makes many of His followers uneasy, and I have to admit, it makes me feel a little uneasy as well. But if we read on, Jesus explains a little more of what He's meaning. But I think Jesus made it this way, that it's going to do one of two things. It's going to make his disciples want to learn more, or it's really going to make a separation. If they're just kind of marginally following Him, they're going to have to make a decision. Kind of like parables. Parables are given with an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's to make us want to dive in deeper. What is Jesus meaning? What is He saying? So, reading on a few verses later, verses 61 through 63, let's read this. Aware that His disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where He was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Jesus often teaches spiritual truths by referencing something physical. Again, that's something we saw in the parables when we went through those. So Jesus is not saying to eat his real physical flesh or drink his physical blood, which would be a violation of the Old Testament law. He is stating that people will not be satisfied or saved if they do not receive him. No one will be satisfied in their spiritual hunger until they grasp and take in Jesus. People will be searching and searching, hungering for something on a spiritual level, but they will not be satisfied until they take in Jesus Christ. Jesus seemed to offend his followers by the way he worded things. But Jesus came here because we needed him. We need him in our lives. And I think I've said this before, but one of the biggest offenses is the fact that my fallenness and my sin required Christ to come and to die. When you really look at what Christ came here to do, it's incredible that he would come because he wants us to be with him. Without receiving Christ, we're doomed and without hope. After Christ was crucified and ascended to heaven, the apostles and the disciples, they gathered together frequently. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. What did they do after Jesus left? They spent time in the apostles' teaching, and that's really everything they learned from Jesus is what they're getting at there. They fellowshipped in that they gathered together. They shared a common bond in Christ. They encouraged and learned from one another. They spent a good portion of time in prayer, and they broke bread. They partook in the Lord's Supper, remembering who they are and what Christ came and did for them. Acts 2:46 through 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They met regularly. They broke bread, remembering, celebrating, and worshiping and praising God and what Christ had done for them. In 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, we're given a little more instruction on taking of the Lord's Supper as we gather together. I'd like to read that. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." We as followers of Christ know the cost of our life. We know that by faith, we're given salvation because of Christ. It would only seem right that if we're going to break bread together, that we would acknowledge and give thanks and give praise to the Lord for giving us that life. Now, I realize that over the years, the Lord's Supper may become a ritual something that you just check off the list. Well, we did it this day. Some celebrate the Lord's Supper every Sunday, some once a month, whatever it is. But sometimes it becomes so ritualistic, it's just, okay, we just got it done. But that's not what this is intended to be. It's not intended to be a ritual. It isn't something reserved for a certain select people. It is something for all that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. This is something that we do to remember the ultimate sacrifice that Christ gave us. We see that we are not to take it in an unworthy manner. What is it to take it in an unworthy manner? The first is not acknowledging Christ as Lord, the giver of our lives through His sacrifice. I would also say that if you have unrepentant sin, meaning you have sin in your life that you're not wanting to turn away from, you have no desire to turn from it, you're living in rebellion against the Lord, you need to repent before taking of it. Now, we all struggle with sin, but the difference is found in repentance and the desire to be free of it, the desire to live for the Lord. We also know another unworthy manner is seen in the context before this passage, which shows that people were not caring for others as they were selfish and focusing on their own earthly appetites instead of focusing on Christ. Those are a couple of things that we can see that would be taking in an unworthy manner. Now we come together to fellowship with one another and we praise Jesus for saving by giving His body and His blood. We come together to fellowship with Christ through His Spirit. See, we fellowship together when we gather together. But as one, our desire is to fellowship with God, with Christ. And that is what we do in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper itself doesn't save anyone. It simply reminds us of the cost of our salvation and is used to draw us closer to Him as we take Christ in daily. It is a form of worship. Before we distribute and take together, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Are you fully submitted to Christ? Have you received Him and taken Him into your life? Have you made Him Lord of your life? If the answer is yes, let's take it together. If you've not done that, please make that commitment now. Don't wait. Also, don't think that you're unworthy to partake in the Lord's Supper because of your past. And I'll tell you, we have all fallen short. When we make Jesus Lord of our lives, we've already been told He takes our stains and He washes them away. He forgives us. When we ask Him to forgive us, we're told that He remembers them no longer. Now, does God really forget? No. But He remembers them no longer in the way that they're no longer held against us. If you look at it as like an invoice of a bill, okay, this was that sin in your life. And that's stamped on there, paid in full, by the blood of Jesus Christ.